Well, if you would take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. The book of 2 Peter is Peter's final words given to the churches in Asia Minor before he passed into eternity. And so as the Lord has brought our church through another fiscal year, we'll talk a little bit about what the Lord has done. And as we are planning to recount the Lord's blessings tonight in the business meeting, I thought before we got to that, we would take some time and we would look at this passage, 2 Peter chapter number 3. Our text for the evening will be the last two verses. And so I trust it'll be a blessing again as we are in 2 Peter chapter number 3. One of the many things I've learned as a new father or a young father is that you spend a lot of time at the doctor's office. In fact, over the first few years of a life, a mom, a dad, and a child visit a doctor for checkups probably around 10 or more times in those 24 months. And that's if you don't have complications. If there are complications, your frequency for wellness checkups will increase exponentially. Now, on top of that, you add in postpartum care for mom, and it might feel like you live at the doctor's office after having a baby. But what's interesting about all these checkups is that we as moms and dads, we view these visits as a necessary part of having a child. We know that we need to have these regular checkups so that we can track developments, that we can track problems when they are small, and we want to catch the problem early. In fact, I remember being present at many of those visits and awaiting measurements and weigh-ins and developmental assessments, and there was some apprehension. And all the while, I'm praying that our kids' development was on a normal and healthy schedule. Why do we do these things? Well, we do these things because of one truth, that being that we expect babies to grow and to develop. They ought not remain the same. They must grow, and we expect them to achieve milestones like crawling, eating solid foods, walking, potty training, talking, etc. In fact, it's when we don't see growth and development, it becomes an all-hands-on-deck effort to get the little one back on track. And you do that through specialists and intensive, intentional effort. So then we see those yearly checkups as a necessary thing, but I got to thinking, I wonder if we do that much assessment and checkups in our spiritual walk as well. Can I ask you tonight, how long has it been since you have given yourself a spiritual checkup? Just like a child who is alive should be growing, so too should a Christian be growing in spiritual maturity and Christ-likeness. Tonight we will have time to do a checkup on our church. And we will examine various ministries. Why? Because we value careful assessments and accountability for the church body. But I believe it might be beneficial for all of us to walk ourselves individually through a spiritual assessment time as well. You may ask, why is this important? Well, because people neglect spiritual assessment. You ever seen a person who just is on his track for life and he just keeps going and you kind of wonder, hey, are you ever going to stop and actually examine your decision-making choices? And sometimes we watch others and they make choices and they go headlong into all kinds of struggles, and if they would just slow down and look at where they are standing, where they are headed, and some of the choices they've made, they would do far, far better. And so people neglect spiritual assessment. Unbelievers, they don't really care about spiritual assessment. Can I put it that way? They're happy in their sin, and they're just going to do what a sinner does. And so spiritual assessment isn't even on their radar. And so we have people neglecting spiritual assessment all the time. And how do I know that? Well, the consequences of neglecting this assessment often manifest themselves. In the life of a believer, it manifests itself as spiritual unfaithfulness, or even falling away from steadfastness to Christ. Again, for the unsaved, they just continue in the mire of their sin. And so tonight, Peter, in writing to his audience, seeks to ensure that they will remain strong and steadfast in the faith through intentional spiritual assessment. And I trust this passage will bless us as we seek to appreciate what our Lord has done corporately, but also individually in our lives, and that we would see where we stand with our Lord this evening. Again, you're in 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 17. It says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." We need to see first this evening that we must be, as part of spiritual assessment, we must be aware of opposition and we must reject it. In this case, Peter is speaking of apostasy and false teaching. The whole book of 2 Peter covers that subject. And the question I have for us tonight is, are we paying attention and aware that there are forces around us that are seeking to shipwreck our faith? Now, some of these are overt. They are actually trying to trip us up. Some of these are covert. Some of these maybe aren't even wrong things, and yet they still trip us up spiritually. Whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil, we have opposition that desires to pull us away from our Savior. And what Peter is saying to these believers is, you need to be aware. He starts off in verse 17, and he says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before." And you might say, "Pastor Nate, you kind of started in the middle of a conversation," and I would agree with you, but for the sake of time, we didn't have time to look at the whole chapter, but let's back it up to verse 16. What Peter is saying is he's talking to these believers, and he is talking about the Apostle Paul and some of the things that the Apostle Paul has written. And you look at verse 16, and he says, "And as also in all his epistles," that's Paul, "speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood." Okay, so he says, yes, there are some things Paul has said that are a little difficult to understand. But here's the reaction, "which they that are unlearned and unstable, they rest," or they twist, "as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." And so what we need to see is, as we are being aware of opposition, we need to see that opposition can be sly and even use the scriptures to fit their agenda. That's what he's speaking of in verse 16, and actually throughout the whole of 2 Peter. He's looking at these false teachers. And he says in verse 14, look over at verse 14. This is the expectation. Verse 14 is, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things," that's the coming of our Savior, "be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." That's the goal. And then now he says, beware of those people who are going to pull you away from that goal. In verse 16, he says, be aware. Pay attention. We must be careful. We must understand that they may take scripture and twist it to fit their own agenda. Have you ever wondered, and have you ever considered, and have you ever been very cautious about some of the voices that you listen to? Yes, there are some resources, and there are some men that we can listen to who have gone and have done great and careful study in God's Word, but even them, you have to be careful. Why? Because they're simply men. And so in this, what Peter is saying to them is, you must be careful. He says, "Beloved, seeing you know these things, beware." Be aware. We must be careful who we listen to. And then I would say, always follow Scripture as your guide. Go back to Scripture. Remember in Acts chapter 17, where Paul is standing before the Bereans, and the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things were true. And they even had apostolic authority standing right in front of them. And they listened and they said, "Paul, that's great thoughts. Let me just check it. Let me just check it with Scripture." And that's what they went back to. And so, beloved, we should be doing the same thing. We must understand that there is opposition, and it can be sly even to use Scripture to fit their agendas. Not only that, we have to realize that the stakes are high. And that's the end of verse 17. It says, "Beware, lest also being led away with the error of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness." Have you ever watched that happen in the life of a believer? Maybe things are going well. Maybe they're on track to serving the Lord and everything looks good, and then all of a sudden something happens. And then you observe that person and some of the decisions that they start making, and you're kind of going, "Whoa, hold on, time out. Why are we doing some of the things you're doing?" Maybe you could see that in your own life, where you start to see some of the things slip. And then you end up maybe one day waking up and you say, "How in the world did I get where I got?" What Peter is saying to these believers is you need to beware lest also being led away with the error of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to remain steadfast until the Lord takes me home or until he comes back to get me. And Peter writes to these believers and he says, you must remain in your steadfastness. Again, verse 14 is the goal. Be diligent that you may be found in him in peace without spot or and blameless. Is that you tonight? Or have you allowed certain things to pull you away to the point where you are now, your steadfastness is now being called into question? Your steadfastness is at stake. Think about this. The testimony of the gospel is at stake. We often don't think one choice will make that big of a deal, but one choice can make a huge difference in how the future looks. And we have to always remember that falling away from steadfastness can result. Beloved, a major component of 2 Peter is dedicated to warnings to not be swept away by false teachers. And he gives us the warning. He then gives us the remedy to falling away. And our text for the evening in verse 18 continues. So let's look at verse 18, because in this we have the way to ensure your steadfastness. Verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Little side note, have you ever done a study of some of these benedictions? Sometimes we figure, okay, well, he's just finishing out the letter and we'll just close the book and we're good. But in reality, there's so much wonderful meat in these benedictions. There's so much good truth that we can glean, and I believe this is one of those that we can glean wonderful things. And he starts off and he says, you must grow in grace. We must be growing in our walk with God. That's number two. We must be aware of opposition and reject it. That's number one. And then number two, we must be growing in our walk with God. And our growth is expected, and it's valuable to keep us from being led astray. Have you ever been focused in one direction and another direction or another opportunity comes and you don't even recognize it because you're just focused on this other thing? I can't help but think when I was dating my wife. There came a point when I was like, I would date around here and there, but then there came a point when I was like, nope, Cheryl and just Cheryl. That's where I'm headed. And so there was no other direction that I was interested in. It was just, I was going to date my future wife. And that was enough for me. And the interesting thing is sometimes in our spiritual walks, we get almost where we're looking back and forth and so distracted by so many different things. There's so many voices in our culture. We're sitting in a very affluent area. And there's so many voices in our culture that says, if you want happiness, you need this, and you need this, and you need this. Can I ask you, are you distracted this evening? We must be growing in our faith, growing in our grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we are active and growing, it's much harder to be swayed and to be pulled away. Are you growing or have you grown this year? You may wonder, how does one grow? Well, thankfully, the text lays it out for us. First off, we must grow in grace. What is grace? Well, grace is unmerited favor. It is God giving to us something we do not deserve. God gives grace to every one of us at different times. Have you ever thought about that? And he not only gives grace to the saved, he also gives grace to the unsaved. He gives good gifts to the saved and the unsaved. The question is what do you do with that grace? What do we do with it? Peter says, and he urges, that we grow in that grace. Well, that's an interesting phrase. What does it mean to grow in grace? It sounds good. It sounds spiritual. But what does it mean to grow in that grace? Well, I believe it has the idea that, first off, we don't waste his grace. What do I mean by that? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul beseeches the believers to accept the grace of God when it is given to them. Do you realize that when you woke up today, God gave you grace? God gave you mercy. Did you recognize that? Did you say thank you? Did you ask for more grace? Or did you just kind of go on with your day and maybe forget even that God was present? Now again, we're sitting here this evening in a Sunday evening service, and you're all here, so I'm kind of preaching to the choir a little bit. But at the same time, God gives us daily grace. What are you doing with that grace? Don't waste it. Maybe God has given you grace and then you make certain life choices and it's basically taking the grace that God has given to you and saying, I'm not interested. Or, thank you for your grace, I'll use it to live however I want. But in order to grow in grace, we don't waste it when it is given to us. It is a precious thing that we hold on to. So we don't waste it, but then we also rely on it. We look for it. We desire it. We ask for it. We depend on it. Have you ever heard the phrase, but for the grace of God, ... Are you active in saying that, or at least thinking that? Because I think some of us, we tend to receive just wonderful gifts from God, but we just kind of go, that's nice, and we move on. But are you relying and looking and recognizing the grace of God on your life? Are you asking for more? I don't know about you, but I need more grace. I needed grace to be saved, but I need grace every moment. Can I say, when I sit up here and I'm about to stand up and preach before you, I'm praying a lot. My prayer life is really strong when I'm up here. Because I need grace to open up God's word to you, God's people. That's a daunting thing. And so I spend time thinking and relying on that grace. Lord, would you help me? Oh, there are lots of times when I don't do that. And oftentimes, that's when my life becomes a problem. Do we rely on his grace? So we must grow in grace. Are we wasting that grace? But that's not it, or that's not all. He says we must grow in grace, but then he continues, we're supposed to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of us may have had the opportunity to go to Bible college. We may have had the opportunity to sit under a real deep theological training. Does that mean that we still need to grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Yes. We may have been saved for decades and know a lot about the Bible. Do you still need to grow in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Yes. And here's the wonderful thing. The more you get to know him, the more you want to know him. The more you get to know him, the more you realize who he is and how much he loves you. And in one sense, we marvel. At least we should. We marvel, and it causes us to even want to know him more. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What is this knowledge? Well, I believe, first off, it's experiential knowledge. It's not just a head knowledge. We'll talk about that here in a second. But it's experiential knowledge. As we encounter life, we should be aware of the work of our Savior in areas of our life. we see him working and we see him protecting and we see him giving wisdom. And we start to learn, this is who my Savior is. Side note, isn't it wonderful that we can claim that? He is my Savior. He is my Lord. And so if he is our Lord and he is our Savior, then let's get to know him. Know him experientially. Do you have a testimony on your lips of how God has worked this year? Looking back and seeing experientially how God has worked, you have an experiential knowledge. Do you look for what Christ is doing, or are you more or less disconnected from what God has been up to in your life? Every day is an opportunity to learn and to pay attention and see what our Savior has done. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's experiential knowledge. We can experience much from our Savior. And through those experiences, we learn of him. Do you know he loves you? He cares for you? Yes, he chastens you when we get out of line. He gives grace. He's very patient with us. He's oh so kind. Are you paying attention to his work in your life? I'm going to use the Apostle Paul again because Peter does reference Paul in this context. Paul in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. That's a deep knowledge. That I may know him. This is a daunting level of desire to know Christ experientially. Do you have that level of desire to know Christ? Even to the point of saying, Lord, even if you would have me die similar to how Christ died, the positive would be that I would get to know what my Savior did for me. At least a glimpse of it. You should desire that level of knowledge. And you will be increasingly hard to spiritually derail if that is the case. When you get to know Jesus, then everything else falls away. So experiential knowledge, but I referenced it before. We also should grow in academic knowledge. Do you know about him through his word? Are you learning about him as you watch him work with and through others? Are you recognizing? Are you paying attention to when God works in the life of someone else? Are you excited and are you praising the Lord for the growth that you see in your fellow believer? We learn of our Savior. The question is, how are you doing? And let's think a little bit about some opportunities where you could grow in your knowledge of Jesus. First off, through preaching. Again, you're here this evening, and that's wonderful. But the most important time of the week for your spiritual understanding is when God's word is opened. And yes, the scriptures does say that even through the foolishness of preaching, it's not the preacher, but it's the Savior that the preacher is talking about. That's when we can grow, and that is the most important time of the week for our spiritual understanding. What about Sunday school? What about Bible study? When you gather together with other believers, and again, you study God's word, it's the biggest way to add to your knowledge. What about Wednesday night Bible study and prayer? How's your prayer life? Are you growing and developing in your prayer life? We take the Bible and we learn practically how to apply it, and then ask the Lord, and we beseech the Lord on behalf of others around us for that grace. And then spiritual conversation with others. How long has it been since we've talked amongst ourselves just about what God has done? Oh, I love talking to several of you men in the congregation about several things, cars and sports. But can I say, when I go back to my home, and after I have spent time talking with you, the thing that sticks out to me is more than just cars and sports, but the thing that sticks out to me is the spiritual deep conversations. That's what should really be a part of this knowledge. We learn about our Savior. So knowledge is necessary. Knowledge is necessary to protect us from the enemies that would love to sift us like wheat. Remember who's writing? It's Peter. Peter was a denier. Peter did have a fall from steadfastness. And he knew firsthand the temptations and failures to deny Christ. And yet at the end of his life, he looks back and he says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And what is the result of that? Look at the end of verse 18. It says, "To him, to Jesus Christ, be glory both now and forever. Amen." What does it mean to glorify God? Because that's what we're here for, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, as one document, Christian founding document says. What does it mean to glorify God? Well, I've heard that it means that you know God and you live for God in such a way that it gives a good opinion of who our God is to those who would observe. Are we glorifying our God? Are you increasing in your knowledge of your Savior? Are you increasing in that grace so that then Christ would be honored and glorified in you and through you in the way that you go about your business? So, beloved, in these two verses, we have the instructions to be aware. Are you being aware? Are you being careful? Are you asking the Lord for wisdom? Are you searching the scriptures daily so you wouldn't be easy pickings for false teachers? And then secondly, are you growing in grace? Are you growing? Are you developing? Are you closer to the Lord today than you were yesterday? And you might say, "Well, I don't know if I can necessarily answer that question." Because even when you're watching little children, they tend to change, and you don't really see the change if you see them every day. But let's back up a little bit more. What about from this time last year? Do you know your Savior better now? I hope so. That's the expectation. So grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that he would be glorified in your life, both now, but also forever. And then even that word, amen, may it be so. He finishes out this chapter, and then let's think about, again, how did Peter finish his course? He died, crucified, hanging upside down. He finished his course, and he wasn't swayed. He went all the way to the end. Can I say, I believe he did because he grew in grace and in the knowledge of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you growing in grace this evening? To wrap this up, he's 1.6 inches tall. I'm going to say that again. This person is 2 feet, 1.6 inches tall. That's shorter than a doorknob, okay? And he's 20 years old. Afshin, I think I'm going to say this, I'm probably going to butcher it. Afshin Esmael Gaderzadeh, I think, is considered the world's shortest man according to the Guinness Book of World Records. Again, how tall is he? 2 feet, 1.6 inches tall. He states that his fame, because he's world famous for being short, is like a dream. It is like you wake up the next day and the entire world now knows who you are. But the thing, this is the fascinating thing, the thing that brought his fame will eventually end his life. See, Afshin's size, small size, will eventually catch up to him. At 20 years old, he's approaching the end of his lifespan because of his small size, and it brings with it muscle weakness, it brings with it organ failure, and even immune deficiency. Why? Because a 20-year-old is not supposed to function at such small sizes. It's the same with our spiritual walks as well. A believer must grow. It is expected, it is celebrated when it happens, and it should be all hands on deck if it's not happening. Let me ask again, how are you doing spiritually this evening? Can you honestly say that you are still growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You may say you don't have time, but the rest of the verse declares that we grow, we develop with the purpose to give God the glory. That's why we live. How are you doing? If you feel that you need to step it up, because there is a part of our that we must give effort towards, then let me encourage you with the phrase my childhood pastor would say often, that there are no stains on the pages of tomorrow. You can start to grow even today. Won't you get busy growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You may have to get very practical. You may have to make commitments and stick to them. You may need to set up a time to get up and read your Bible. And you may have to say, nothing will stop me from doing so. You may have to get up a bit earlier on Sunday morning so you can arrive at Sunday school, so you can learn. You may have to set aside some of your pursuits so that you can volunteer to serve your fellow believers. All of these things are helpers to make sure that we continue to grow and to develop in our walks with our Savior. Now, maybe you'd sit here and you'd say, Pastor Nate, by the grace of God alone, I think I have grown. Well, then praise the Lord and give him the credit. Be quick to say thank you and praise the Lord for what he's doing in my life. We all have one life to live on this side of eternity. Let us invest our everything to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Would you bow together in prayer with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace that you give that makes it possible for us to grow. And Lord, we do pray that we would receive that grace and that we wouldn't waste it and that we would implement it and we would learn and take the opportunities you give. Lord, if there's some among us who maybe have been distracted, help us to get our eyes back on our Savior. Help us to set aside those things that maybe easily beset us. And help us to run the race that you've laid out for us so that then Christ would be honored and glorified. Lord, if there's one among us who's yet to accept Christ, help them to realize that they will still glorify God, but they will do so as they are being judged. And I pray that they would see their plight and that they would cry out to the Lord for salvation and in that way also give honor and glory to you. Lord, would you help us in the next few moments? If there's business we need to attend to between you and us, then Lord, I pray that we will get that taken care of. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.